معين أما بعد.
We've been discussing the sunnahs and etiquettes in regards to the hair. That a person should honor his hair, take care of his hair, groom, keep his hair, as was the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next section is combing the hair upon awakening. Combing the hair upon awakening. As Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, that the miswak, ablution water and comb used to be arranged for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at bedtime. Upon awakening, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would use the miswak, perform wudu, and he would comb his hair. So this is the riwayat of Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, before going to bed, the miswak used to be placed by his bedside in ablution water. We have now the system is different, we have taps, etc. The water is available and the comb also. So this is already tayyari preparation for awakening. So upon awakening, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would use the miswak. Among the sunnahs of awakening is read our dua, Alhamdulillahi ladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. As we did mention previously, person rubs his eyes with his palms. Also a sunnah. Once you rub your eyes with your palms, the sleep disappears. So this is the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, rub your eyes with your palm, read your dua, then use the miswak. And also, before relieving oneself, going to the toilet, the sunnah to wash the hands first. First wash the hands, فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي أَيْنَ بَاتَتْ يَدُكَ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned more or less, وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ, that before you relieve yourself, then you should wash your hands first, because you don't know where your hands spend the night. You don't know where your hands spend the night, therefore wash your hands before you even go to the toilet. And then to use a miswak again for wudu, it's a separate sunnah altogether. Note the hair is generally disturbed or disheveled during sleep, hence Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would comb it upon awakening. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah has written that it is better to comb the hair after completing wudu. Person completes the wudu, then he may comb his hair. Combing the hair before sleeping. The Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform wudu, use the miswak and comb his blessed hair before sleeping. So that's what we've done now. So before sleeping was wudu, miswak, combing the hair. Upon awakening was miswak again, wudu and combing the hair. So the same sunnahs more or less, just the tartib and sequence that would change. So before sleeping first is the wudu, thereafter will be the using the miswak, the during wudu also, and then combing the hair before sleeping to groom oneself. And going to bed, they also, or upon awakening, will be the miswak, wudu, and then combing the hair. Note, many narrations mention about using the miswak before sleeping. It is extremely beneficial to use the miswak before sleeping. If one's hair is in disarray, combing it avoids disturbance during sleep. Combing the hair infrequently. So Abdullah bin Mughaffal radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited combing the hair unless it is done irregularly. Umay bin Abdul Rahman rahmatullah alayhi narrates from his sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to comb his blessed hair now and then. When there was a need, then he would comb it. Note, the prohibition regarding combing the hair daily applies only when a person becomes obsessed with it. Then he should stop it. He becomes a bimari, he's looking in the mirror all the time, whether boy, whether girl. But this now, in that case, the habit should be broken, looking in the mirror every day. There's no need right now, you are well kept. So the prohibition of combing the hair, or regarding combing the hair daily, applies only when a person becomes obsessed with it and wants to look fashionable and slick in all the time. If it is done due to necessity, it is perfectly acceptable. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that simplicity is a great branch of iman. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi has recorded the explanation of Qazi Iyaz rahimahullah ta'ala al-Maliki regarding this hadith. He states that it is only prohibited to comb the hair frequently when a person becomes entrapped in the desire to have his hair trim and proper and spends a lot of time arranging it. Then this becomes prohibited. Our beloved Shaykh Muhammad Hamid Sahib, Dhamma Arkad, also, especially for students of deen workers and generally the Muslims, that we should become what you would say a rough jacks. That all is worried about your appearance. But to become a bit tough, strong, yes, well kept, you know, dishevel, that in this area, but well kept also is part of the sunnah, but not the person becomes obsessed. Becomes obsessed how the topi is and how the kurta is, etc. Then this is a little fall under the prohibition. That now is obsessed with him, with his outlook. The sunnah method of combing the hair. As Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved commencing with the right side when performing wudu and when combing his blessed hair. So in wudu also, wash the right hand, left hand. And even when we wear our shoes, wear our socks, entering the masjid, all with the right first. The good thing is always with the right side first and also combing the hair. So take note and keep in mind the sunnah. When you do wake up in the morning, then we comb the hair starting from the right hand side, the beard also. Note, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will commence with the right limb or right side in all good actions. It is therefore a sunnah to commence good things from the right side or to do good actions with the right limbs. Eating also, this is a precise sunnah. Many a times we find our children, they just drink or eat with the left hand. So it's a continuous engagement with them, it's a continuous reminder to them. They eat with their right hand, drink with their right hand, do everything with their right hand. And we also sometimes we slip up. He also, our Hazrat says too, that when we're eating rice or some tarkari or some curry, so because the fingers are soiled, they are soiled with food, so we'll take the glass with the left hand. Take it with the left hand and put the right hand under the glass. This is not correct also. So they will say that spoiled the glass, but don't spoil the sunnah. Miss the glass, but don't miss the, keep the sunnah as is. You may do it like that, thinking now this is cultured, very clean. But the children will look at this and they will think now to drink with the left hand is absolutely correct. There's no problem with it. So they say, no, lick your fingers, clean your hands, and then take hold of the glass. But drink with the right hand, you will get sawab and reward for this. It is sunnah to keep a mirror, oil and comb. The Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always carried the following five items. Whether Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at home or abroad. A mirror, a kuhul, that is now antimony, surma, so a kuhul container, a comb, hair oil, and a miswak. For these five items, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will carry with him. If he was traveling out or he was a resident in Madinah al-Munawwara, then he would have this. He had nine homes, so most probably all these items were found in all these homes. So these five items were a mirror, a surma container, a comb, hair oil, and a miswak. Note, these items are always required. And if a person keeps them with him in emulation of the sunnah, he will receive greater reward. And then the description of Nabi alayhi salatu salam's comb, what type of a comb did he have? The Khalid bin Ma'adana radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's comb was made of ivory. Similarly, the Jarir radiallahu ta'ala anhu has also mentioned that it was made of ivory. Note, if one can obtain an ivory comb, it will be rewarding. Ivory, where we get from? Elephant. The elephant tusks. You call that ivory. People nowadays they poach them, am I right? So very expensive, but if a person gets this, then this is the sunnah itself, a comb made from ivory. Now we have to be careful in regards to brushes, combs, toothbrushes, because sometimes they make it from the fibers of the hair of boar, or to say pigs. So you got to be careful even the type of brushes we use, whether it's toothbrush, whether it's brush with the hair. Burying the nails and hair. The Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhuma relates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bury the hair and nails so that people who practice witchcraft and black magic will not be able to get a hold of them. People usually use these body parts. The nails and the hair is also part of the body. So what is a body part also, but these things we have to remove. So these things should be buried. Keep a pot plant in the house if you're living in a flat. On some pot plants over there, we can bury it over there, outside in the garden, it can be buried over there, especially women's hair and daughter's hairs, etc., shouldn't be left just around or throw it in the sink. Nails also, all these should be buried. Because every part of Bani Adam is mukarram. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا Bani Adam. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says we are given due respect and honor to the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So every body part of his, that is why the whole discussion comes about organ transplant, etc., donating blood, whether it's permissible or not. So Allah Ta'ala has given honor to Bani Adam. He just can't do what he wants with his body or donate it, etc. So there are masail that apply to it. Fathul Bari, a kitab name Fathul Bari, adds that it should be buried so that it may not be utilized as a tool for inflicting harm to a person. Now we know when it comes in our country, the scenario, we have these witch doctors, sangomas, and they use body parts, etc., as muti. So a person should be careful, especially now we have these types of people that are working within our home. So we should be careful now that we don't leave the things, we bury them. Note, it is understood from the above hadith that all body parts should be buried instead of being disposed of in other ways. It is permissible to shave the head of children. So Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhumah narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent for a barber and instructed him to shave our heads. The Abdullah bin Ja'far, the son of Ja'far al-Tayyar bin Abdul Muttalib, who passed away in the battle of Muta, which is in Jordan, in Sham. So his son was Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. He narrates that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam sent for a barber and instructed the barber to shave our heads. He had Ja'far's sons after his demise. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam shaved their heads. Note, says Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, is the son of the valiant soldier of Islam, has a Ja'far al-Tayyar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had these children's heads shaved after the demise of their father. It is more convenient and easier for children to have short hair. Therefore, it's better as they are growing up, we don't allow them to keep the long hair. Or as they become accustomed to keeping it and they become very, very particular and very conscious of their appearance. Now they're going to look in the mirror all the time. And if they don't do that, then the young boy, how much is worried about his? He's coming all over his face and blocks his eyesight sometime. And unfortunately, sometime the mothers keep the young boy's hair so long. Hazrat mentioned this one time, and we are also experienced. Then the fathers will bring the young son to make salam with the alim. And you really can't make out, so you'll ask the father, what's her name? Say, no, it's a boy. So, thought it was a girl. Because the hair is so long. So, there are limitations when it comes to girls and boys emulating girls. For boys and the young, in fact, we found our Kabir also, when he came to the daughters, they would shave their hair completely till they were about 6-7 years old. Shave it completely, so it grows thicker as they get bigger. So till that time also they would completely remove their hair. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshallah.